You're with SBS Radio.
I'm Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and I'm in conversation with the French woman and soccer player Melissa Jaffa. Melissa is currently evolving on the side of the Darwin-based Anti-Yappers, an Aboriginal women's soccer team that's part of the Northern Territory's Women's Premier Soccer League. And we're catching up today as the Anti-Yappers clash in the 2021 season semi-finals this Friday, September 17. Now, Melissa, before we delve into this important match of the year, tell us about your football journey. Yourself, your career before embarking into this performance with the Yappers.
I've started playing soccer. I was 6 years old. In France, and until my 22 years old, I've played until I broke my ligament on my knee and came in Australia.
Back then in France, when you were living there, women's soccer wasn't fully professionalized, but you played at quite a high level, even representing France on several occasions.
We're talking about 10 years ago. Women's soccer in France wasn't that developed yet. So it was only semi-professional, the highest level. And my 16 years old, I've been contacted to play in the French national team under 17 years old. Then the year after, I've been accepted to the Clairefontaine Pôle France, which is a training center, training like high-level center.
It was all about soccer, academy.
Eating soccer, we're sleeping soccer, we're training every day. And I was supposed to stay there for 3 years. I finally stayed only one because it was a bit complicated. It was on the other side of the country. So I still carried on in French national team in under 19 till my 22nd years old when I broke my knee. Then I stopped and I came in Australia to start like sort of a new life.
Was it easy settling in Australia? Where did you stay in Australia when you first arrived? Was it directly in the Northern Territory, or you've moved around since you arrived?
So it was quite of it wasn't a struggle, because Australia is never a struggle. Like, there is that much people that helped me all along my journey, along those 8 years that I'm here now. I arrived in Brisbane, it was in 2013, then I've been traveling the whole East Coast, and I took a ticket flight for Darwin, from Cairns to Darwin, and I actually never moved. I went home a few times, I went on holiday in Indonesia, I've done the West Coast as well, but I always came back in Darwin. I loved it. I think I just love it.
What made you fall in love with Darwin in particular?
I was born in south of France, on the coast, close to Marseille, between Marseille and Nice. So I have this relationship with the sea that is really important, you know. And I think Darwin is just the perfect place. It reminds me of my place in France without all the traffic jam, all the overpopulation and everything. And just the people, like this easy life. There is job for everyone that if you want to wake up in the morning in Darwin, you're not going to struggle. If you're a hard worker, you're not going to struggle. People are amazing. They're always keen to help. They're super generous. And yeah, there was absolutely no reason to leave.
And then you ended up connecting with the Yappers. How did this happen? How did it come about?
I was doing soccer lessons for Halebury School, Halebury Render School in Darwin, in Berrima, because the kids I used to look after, they were in this school. And my friend had a soccer academy, so they were contractor of the school, so I've been teaching there. And I met this lady that was the captain of the Yappers. They were just making this team happening. Like, it meant that it was the first indigenous woman soccer team of the whole history of Australia. And we were doing soccer lessons together, and she saw that I could play soccer, so she asked me if I wanted to play. And at this period, I finished my study and my visa was moving forward and I had a little bit more stability. So I was getting myself a little bit into soccer again after 6 years of not doing anything. And so I went to the first training of the season So I just decided to carry on, you know. I knew it was going to be a commitment because playing in a team, it's always a commitment. But I managed with my job and everything to, yeah, to commit to that, to commit to the Yapas. Then after I met all those girls that are indigenous, that are not indigenous, like me, they're Australian or even as a background, but we were all playing for this team. And they're just amazing, you know. They're pretty wolf, you know. And I honestly think that we all have a way to help the Aboriginal community, the indigenous community population. And I really think that soccer is just mine, you know. It's just my way to help them.
No, that's great. The input that you bring is very much appreciated. Preparing this interview, I had some feedback from a lot of commentators and observers. They're really, really looking forward to see you perform on the field. Personally, I haven't seen you perform, but which area of on the field do you evolve in? Are you midfield, striker? Where do you play?
I'm a midfielder, number 6 and number 10. I'm talking about old school strategy formation, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm mainly midfielder, but I'm able to play, maybe not on the wings because I'm 30 years old, I'm not fit like I was 10 years ago, but yeah, midfielder or at the back. I can even play goalie if we need to a goalie. Like, I don't mind. I'm just here to have fun. You know, I've played the high level. I know that I'm not going to play anymore at the high level, not that I can't, but maybe that I don't really want it. I just play whatever we need, mainly.
Yeah, that's very rare, being a goalie and a midfielder. Extraordinary feat there.
I've studied soccer. I was goalie, actually. So I'm pretty good with my hands and with my feet. So there's no reason that if we don't have a goalie, let's do it. Like, I have my knee didn't recover like 100%. So I can't really play like 90 minutes at 100%. So if I can play 45 minutes, 100% goalie to help my team, then play the other 45 minutes on the field, I'm happy with that.
You might be midfielder one half of the game or a few minutes, and then the other part, you're a goalie. How does that work?
So what we do when this happens, when we are missing the goalie, a girl take the position in the goal the first half. Then at the second, we change. We take turn. We take turn to just help the team.
And now, before I let you go, because you're training, it's Thursday evening and the match is on tomorrow. Final word, something I might have missed in my questions and a message you'd like to put out there.
I really hope that tomorrow we're going to win. And even if we don't, I really hope that people are going to watch us, because those girls that I play with, the indigenous, the whole team, they are worth. They are worth being watched. They are worth everything. They are amazing. And as I say, I always say, like, if I don't play for the Yapas, I wouldn't play soccer, because I wouldn't play against them. It would just be like just against what I think.
That's radical and very powerful. On that note, well, Melissa Jafar, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much. You are really welcome. Like, all the pleasure was for me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.